Well, it's good to be here. Enjoy coming and sharing with you. As was mentioned before, Ross mentioned before, we're in the midst of Advent. And Advent is all about waiting. Typically, we don't like waiting, do we? Well, I certainly don't like waiting. Waiting is sometimes, it seems, it's the curse of our existence. Waiting in endless lines, waiting while we're caught in traffic, waiting on hold on the telephone. I just spent 3 days trying to ring the Bangladesh High Commission in Canberra, Australia. Not once did they answer their phone. However, I then got an email saying the visa is on the way. So that's very nice. Hopefully on Monday we will get that. Waiting is just a part of our life. Part of our life. And while most of us would say we hate waiting, waiting with a touch of anticipation, well, that's a different story, isn't it? Actually, anticipation brings spice to life. Waiting to open Christmas presents. Just yesterday, we had half of our family are going to Australia for actual Christmas Day, so we had an early Christmas yesterday with all the grandchildren and the family. It was great fun. The oldest is 10 and the youngest is just born. So excited. Can we open the presents yet? No, not yet, not yet. We're going to eat. Can we open the presents now? No, not yet. We're just waiting. The anticipation is huge. Waiting to go on holiday to a trip. One of the family, they're going to Melbourne to catch up with the other side of the family. They're eagerly anticipating this trip, this holiday. Waiting for the birth of a child, which is what we had been doing, but last week he was born. Today's theme is the Saviour is coming. And I want to start off talking about this wonderful gift of anticipation. And we all know what it feels like to anticipate something special. I'm going to show you some photos, and I want you to feel the anticipation in the photo. Some positive anticipation, some negative anticipation. Look at that face, will you? So much excitement and anticipation there. That's anticipation in a movie, in a scary movie, a horror movie. When's it going? Yeah, I know it's going to happen, but when is it going to happen? For those who like, for those who like fishing, the anticipation. Sitting there hoping that you're going to catch something. And of course, the anticipation of a newborn. Oops. The Saviour is coming. Anticipation, generally we consider that to be a good thing, and it gives us something to look forward to hope for. And that is why I love planning holidays. In June, when the weather is a bit cold and dreary, Gay and I will often plan a holiday in September, spring. We regularly do it in September, partly because it's spring, partly because it's partway through the year, so it's a good time to do it, but it's also our wedding anniversary then. And we usually sort of, as soon as we get back from our Christmas, we start planning the next trip away. And as soon as we've had that September holiday, we start planning for the summer holidays. Anticipation was the reason that when our grandchildren were younger, we were not allowed to tell them that we were visiting. Only an hour or two before we arrived. If we told them too early, their anticipation was such that they wouldn't go to bed, they wouldn't eat their meals, because when's Gran and Papa coming? And now they're a bit older, that's not so much of an issue. Kids are great, aren't they? Anticipation is a huge part of their lives. Anticipation is a big part of Christmas. The retail stores, they use anticipation, don't they? People, well, we tend to have a love-hate relationship with the build-up to Christmas. Obviously, the busyness, the traffic isn't good, the crowds at the shops. But I do quite like the whole atmosphere. I quite like decorations, as long as I don't need to put them up. I enjoy a Christmas tree as long as it's not dropping its sap or leaves or pine needles all over the place. I love lights. They just look great. As I said, today's theme is the Saviour is coming. Next week is the Saviour has come. And then the following week, the Saviour is coming again. That in itself creates anticipation. But today we start back in the Old Testament, and there are a whole lot of passages that we could have turned to that anticipate the Saviour coming. But I want to take a look at one passage in Zechariah. And I want you to notice New Zealand is specifically mentioned in this passage. Take note. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle, and your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the ends of the earth. That's us. That's us. We are mentioned. We are at the ends of the earth. That's us. Isn't that great? This is what the Israelites were anticipating. It's what they were hoping for. For centuries, the Jewish people had been bullied and pushed around by superpowers of Babylon and Greece and Rome. And it's little wonder that they remain in conflict today in some ways, isn't it? And we're told from their very beginning, they held on to this hope and anticipation that one day a Savior would come, a liberator, a hero, a leader, a Messiah who would deliver them, like Moses, who delivered the people out of Egypt. This is what they were anticipating. This is what they were hoping for. They clung to this with this sort of white-knuckled faith. Yeah, there are plenty of other passages, but the Isaiah passage here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. These are powerful, powerful passages that the Israelites in those days would have quoted and hoped for and anticipated, expecting that one day, Israel itself would be a superpower. And they would have led by a super leader. This is what they're anticipating. Now, I'm certainly not making any comment on today's conflict or political situation, but what I want to do this morning is to try and put ourselves into the shoes of several of the characters of the Christmas story. Characters that we're going to look at, and I want you to consider what might they be anticipating. As we look at these different characters, I want you to consider what they might have been anticipating. Now, I've put some scrambled characters up there on the screen, and so you guys have to work for this. There's no sitting around sleeping. You guys are going to have to work hard. I want you to guess, to know, to come forth with the answer on what order these characters appear in the Christmas story. Some of these characters will appear more than once, so the order is when they first appear. So, and when we identify the character, then I want you to tell me what the context of their story is and what they might be anticipating. You okay? So you guys are preaching the sermon. Excellent. So of the characters up there, who are the first character or characters that appear in the Christmas? This could be embarrassing. Some people will be going, put their head down. Please don't look at me. I might choose someone. Who do you think is the first ones? Not Mary, no. Zach and Liz. I heard of Zach and Liz over there. That's right. Remember, who was Zechariah? Priest, that's right. He was a priest married to Elizabeth. And she was pregnant first. Who was she pregnant with? John the Baptist, that's right. And so Zach and Liz were told that they would have a baby and they were to name him John. And what? There's something else about Zach. What was that? You're struck dumb. He can't talk. He was told that he won't speak again until John is born. And when Elizabeth visited Mary, remember, John leapt in the womb. So these are the first ones of this. So what were they anticipating? They were anticipating something, weren't they? Well, they're anticipating a son, of course. They were looking forward to John. They were anticipating something special, though. A leader, a Nazarite. They were anticipating that Zach might be able to talk again. So these are some of the things that they were anticipating. Okay, who's next out of those characters? Simeon and Anna? They've got a wee way down the line. Angel. Correct. Angel. Someone's scooting through their Bible, are they? Okay, the angels. Now, these angels, they appear regularly. Most of the time when they appear, they spend most of their time going, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. And it's just a continual cycle. They appear with Zach, they appear with Mary, they appear with Joseph, and they appear to the shepherds, of course, don't they? Look, what were they anticipating? I'm going to play you a video. It's an excellent video. Hopefully you haven't seen it, but if you have, it's great anyway. So if we can have that video played, thanks.
I think everyone's what we might think if we can pull back the curtain of time to that very first Christmas. If we could, I imagine the story began in heaven something like this. God was looking on the heaven's balcony one day, shaking his head at all the wrong things he was doing down on earth.
Oh man, this isn't quite what I had imagined when I created Earth. It's so far away from my kids down there.
What?
It's just hard to be friends with people when you don't know what they're doing. I think it's time.
Time for what, Lord?
Time for us to step in.
Shall we raise an army, Lord? Can't you say the last one?
No, I don't think we should send an army. Maybe just one person.
What person? Lord, we're sending just one person. Blessed be someone who's very powerful and very strong. But there's tons of people telling us.
No, they don't have to be strong. They'll be good as a newborn baby.
A newborn baby?
Brilliant! They would be expecting that. Lord, this plan's rather risky. A newborn human baby is small and weak. This baby must be born to people who will protect him. Maybe a great ruler. Almighty King?
Actually, I was thinking I could see the dream peasant girl whose heart is beautiful and full of courage.
Oh, peasant girl! Brilliant! They won't be expecting that! My lord, I see your plan is to take Earth by surprise. No one will be expecting a newborn baby born to a humble villager. But what good can a baby do?
This will not just be any baby. I'm sending in the Prince of Heaven in disguise.
Surely our prince cannot be born in a cottage. He must be born in a palace.
You're right. He shouldn't be born in a cottage.
You.
He'll be born in a stable.
A stable? Surrounded by animals? Hay? Filled with poo? Brilliant! They won't be expecting that! Lord, how will we know he's there? What if they don't know him?
Those who are looking find him, and his mission will bring all people closer to me, even if it isn't already wrong. And the prince prince is done, nothing will get between them and my love.
Can we leave some clues for the people looking? Like in the stars?
Who's in the stars? Sure, why not? We can make one huge one that points to them.
Yes, can we say?
Hey, no, loud can hang.
Please say we can sing.
God looked at the hopeful faces, and his heart was touched by the love of the friends.
All right, you can sing.
Yay!
But not in front of the whole world. That would just be weird. And no kings or rulers.
How about we sing some chicken? That's a lovely job.
The Earthlings could do with some cheering up.
Brilliant. They won't be expecting that.
It's clever, isn't it? And it's good to have that original footage of how the angels processed this whole story way back there. The angels, who knows what was going on and what they were anticipating and what they knew. Okay, who's next?
Mary.
Mary, yes, correct. Mary had to get there eventually, didn't they? So Mary, she was obviously engaged to Joseph. The angels came. But there was just total confusion, wasn't there? Just total confusion. Yeah, exactly. Her and Joseph. But what's interesting, despite her total confusion, remember what she said? I am the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said. That is phenomenal. Phenomenal. What was she anticipating? Well, we're not going to go through that because that's too much, but I'm sure you know that song, Mary, Did You Know? Go home and listen to that and think about what Mary was expecting or anticipating. That's a fabulous song. Okay, and Joseph is next. And we're told that he was a good man. And he decided to very sensitively and quietly call the wedding off. Because he knew he wasn't the father until he met one of those angels, which he wasn't expecting. But what was he anticipating, do you think? Once he knew what was happening, what was his anticipation? Imagine the roller coaster of emotions that he had. The doubt. Sure, he encountered an angel, but I'm pretty sure that there would have been times of doubt as well. There was the engagement and then the apparent betrayal and then the confusion and then fear and hope and all of these things were going on. It would have been a tough, tough time for him. Who's next in the story? The shepherds, correct. The shepherds, well, they were just minding their own business. Then the angels came. Don't be afraid. Told about Jesus, more angels singing. And the shepherds went to the manger and told the story. So they were an important part. They told part of the story to the people around them. Mary is still confused, wondering what all of this meant. And what were the shepherds anticipating? Yeah, well, they weren't sure. Initially, they weren't sure what they were. They were just actually something amazing. They just knew that it was something, and they didn't know what it was. So they said, let's go and see. They were curious, but they knew that there was something. And then they told everybody. Next one. It's getting easier, isn't it? Simeon and Anna, correct. Both were old, not married as far as we can tell. Simeon, he was just a good bloke. But he had been told, do you remember what he had been told? That he wouldn't die until he had seen the Messiah. Anna, she was a widow, a prophet. She served in the temple. They don't really know, but it possibly means that she had no children, or at least no boys anyway, because girls weren't that important. Just knew the culture. Simeon, what was he anticipating now? Death. He was told he wouldn't die until the Messiah. He knew he had encountered the Messiah, and he actually says, "He's now let your servant die in peace. I've done my bit. I've fulfilled everything that I'm meant. I've served the Lord faithfully. Now let your servant die in peace." And Anna, she was anticipating God to rescue Jerusalem. Can anyone guess who the last ones are? The wise men. Who knows how many? They saw a star, and they followed this star for 2 years. What were they anticipating? A king, of course. They had gifts for a king. They didn't know what it all meant, but they knew a king was going to be there. The Saviour is coming. Oh, flip, I better get on with it, didn't I? The Saviour will be here before I finish. The Saviour is coming, and as I said before, Advent in the season of anticipation and hope. These things go together. So back to Zechariah. We have three aspects of it. There's this prophecy of a new kind of king. Zechariah foretold of a king that would be righteous, would bring salvation, you know, unlike the power-hungry kings that they had had previously. Zechariah talks about the king's humility, riding on a donkey. Then there's the promise of peace. Verse 10 the passage described the king speaking peace to the nations. Instruments of war, they'll be eliminated. And then there was a message of hope for the ancient believers then, but it's also a message for hope for us as well. This prophecy provides a message of hope during difficult times. We have hope for life right here and now. Now, most of us have lived long enough to realize that just because we're following Jesus, it doesn't make life all very cruisy. Life can be tough. Life can be messy. The journey of life is full of potholes and detours and U-turns and dead ends. And sometimes they don't make a whole lot of sense to us, do they? Imagine Joseph of Arimathea. Yeah, these guys, used by God, they must be godly. Surely everything went smoothly. No, the pregnancy. It was scandalous. Adultery, was asked, punishable by stoning. They had refugee status, constantly on the move. They lacked resources. And then, of course, Herod's tried to slaughter all the innocents, and they had to escape to Egypt. And then, what a life they had. It wasn't an easy life. The confusion, the hardship that we face can sometimes steal our hope. The hope that our lives really matter. The hope that our lives are going somewhere and counting for something. And all as we can see is difficulty and challenge. And where has that hope gone? Romans 8, 28 and 29. This is from the Message version. That is why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. God wants to make you and me more loving, more giving, more humble, more joyful, more peaceful, more faithful, more compassionate, and more self-controlled. And the life and our life is God's curriculum to accomplish that. So don't fight against the hardships. Walk into them with Jesus. Life is full of surprises. Some of them good, and some of them not so good. Life is full of things that we can't anticipate. But because of Christ, we can anticipate that the God who was born in a manger is coming again, and we will see him face to face. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this Christmas story. We thank you for all that it means. We thank you for what was told beforehand in the Old Testament, the anticipation and the hope, and that we have had the privilege of seeing it happen, and now we follow you faithfully. Lord, help us in the midst of our hardships, our challenges, and the good times to continue to walk with you. Amen.